It's good to see everybody here. It's 6 o'clock, a little bit after, time for us to get started. We are going to have our Soldiers of Christ Bible study tonight, and we do that for a few minutes here at the beginning, and then we go right into our worship service, and so with very little transition, just to go right into it. So we're glad that you're here and are ready to get into our Bible study. Let me mention just a couple things for you tonight as we get started. Sunday night, we don't often make a lot of announcements because we have made most of them in the morning and don't want to repeat a lot of things. But Pete Brown has pneumonia. He's in Jupiter Medical Center and now has pneumonia. And so family asked us to be praying for him and asked for no visitors at the hospital right now. And remember Tim Fry in your prayers, as he'll be having the quadruple bypass surgery on Tuesday of this week. And the family has also asked for no prayers with Tim. Let him get beyond that surgery and let him start recovering. And so just keep the family in your prayers as Tim recovers from that surgery that he'll be having on Tuesday. No visitors. That's even better. All the prayers he can get. Sorry about that. All the prayers he can get. Thank you for listening. So no visitors for Pete or for Tim, but all prayers are welcome. Okay. Soldiers of Christ, what are we talking about? Trying to get a look at the life of Jesus and some of the key elements that we can learn out of the life of Jesus. And so let me ask you some basic questions, all right? Give me a 3-sentence summary of the entire Bible. Good, all right. Now that it's on the screen and you know what the question is, all right, give me a 3-sentence summary of the Bible. Someone is coming, someone is, someone is. All right, that's the whole Bible, and you've got it. Who's the someone? That's Jesus. The entire Bible is about Jesus Christ. Caleb, do you know what the word gospel means? You know what that word means? It's on the screen. You know what the word gospel means? Good news. Good news about who? About Jesus. Is there any bad news about Jesus? I mean, when somebody hears your name, could it be good news or bad news? Depends, right? Is there any bad news about Jesus? It's all good news. And you can be the recipient of that good news. So here's kind of a summary of some of the key chapters. And we come back to this every month or two, just as I think it's critical that if you can get some key things nailed down in chapters so that you know where things are in Scripture, I think that can help you tremendously. Now, obviously, these are long chapters. They have a lot more in them than just the couple words that we're using to summarize them. But just as you think about the Bible, all right, as you think about the Bible, what do we learn about in John chapter 1? Open book test. What do you learn about in John chapter 1? The eternal nature of Jesus. How long has Jesus been around? Forever. Was Jesus around before he was born? Yes, he's always been around. And so he's been, Jesus is God, he's always been around. Now, you get to Luke chapter 1. What do you learn about in Luke chapter 1? The birth of who? John the Baptist. All right, you get to Luke chapter 2. What do you learn about? The birth of who? Birth of Jesus. John's born first. Jesus is born second. All right, you get into Matthew. That's John. That's Luke. What do you read about in Matthew chapter 1? What does genealogy mean? His heritage. All right. Jesus was the son of who? There's a lot of answers to this, so you're going to have a lot of options here. Jesus is the son of who? Son of God. Good one. Jesus is the son of? David. Good one. Jesus is the son of? Adam. Jesus is the son of? Mary. Jesus is the son of? Joseph. Jesus is the son of? Man. Jesus is the son of? Abraham. That's the one I hadn't heard yet. All right. Now, there's a lot of other ones. Those are the ones we're dealing with. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus is the son of Abraham, son of David. All right? He's the son of God. He's the son of man. He's the son of Joseph and Mary. All of those things. So, we learn about that in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 2. What are you reading about in Matthew chapter 2? Early childhood of Jesus. What does Herod the Great try to do to Jesus? Tries to kill him. Does he succeed? He does not. What do you learn about in Matthew chapter 3? Baptism of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4. Temptation of Jesus. How many times did Jesus give in to the devil? Zero. He didn't give in to him in Matthew chapter 4, but for the rest of his life, he lived for 33 years. How many times did Jesus give in to the devil? Zero. Didn't sin once. Do you know how big of a deal that is? I mean, that's like a fact that we learn, that he never sinned. Do you know how big of a deal that is? Was Jesus really tempted to do wrong? Yes. Could Jesus have sinned? Yes, he could have sinned because he was tempted. What does tempted mean? That's tempting to me. I would think about doing that. My passions, my desires would lead me down that path. He was tempted to sin. He could have sinned, but he never sinned. If he had just sinned one time, where was he at 12 years of age? What was happening at 12 years of age? He was in the temple, right? His parents leave him behind. What if when Mary comes back and she said, what did Mary say to Jesus when she came back after 3 days and found him? What did she say to him? Did you not know that we have sought you anxiously? What if he had just cursed at his mom? Just let her have it. Just, you lady, let me tell you something. Just one time he did that at 12 years of age. What would have happened to us? What if as a teenager, he just told one little lie to mom and dad? You know, he just, you know, maybe he was not having a good, he just told one little lie as a teenager. What would have happened to us? We're not going to be saved. We're not going to heaven. You know how big of a deal it is that Jesus never sinned? That's huge. All right, totally different topic. What do you learn about John chapter 2? What does Jesus do for the first time in John 2? Cleanses the temple. Does he do it again? Yep. You get into Matthew chapter 21, he does it again. What happens in John chapter 3? Who does Jesus talk to? Nicodemus. Who does Jesus talk to in, what am I saying? John chapter 3. Who does Jesus talk to in John chapter 4? Woman in Samaria, woman at the well. All right, so if you can just peg those things in your mind, I think that'll help. All right, that's some keys. We'll come back and do that next week. All right, here's your Bible map. You know Judea, down here in the south, this blue region. What are some major cities down here? Jerusalem, Bethlehem, major cities down here. You got Samaria, this orange area in the middle. Did the Jews typically travel through Samaria? No way, Jose. They're going to cross the Jordan. They're going to come over the Jordan this side and then come back over to avoid going through Samaria. Up here in the north is what area? Galilee. That's what we're talking about tonight. Talking about Galilee. What's one of the major cities that we know of? Not major in size. It was actually kind of puny. Major city that we know of in Galilee is the city of Nazareth. All right, so Jesus was born in what city? Bethlehem. I knew I would trick some of you because I just put Nazareth in your head and then I asked where he was born. All right, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth. All right, where Jesus was baptized down here. Jesus was tempted down here. All of those early chapters we talked about a minute ago, that was all of this happening down here. But in John chapter 4, Jesus starts making his way north, through Samaria. He ends up here in Galilee. So let me jump over here. You got those three geographical divisions. You got Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. But where did he do most of his preaching? He did it most of it in Galilee. Why did he do most of his preaching in Galilee? They liked him. They liked him better compared to Jerusalem. They liked him better. All right? They were less volatile towards him down in Jerusalem. Now, over time, all of that changes. But Jesus goes to Nazareth. Did they accept him in Nazareth? Did they like him in Nazareth? He goes to his hometown. Do they like him when he gets there? They did not like him when he got there. What did Jesus say about a prophet is not without honor except where? In his own country. Did Jesus know that to be true? Yeah, he did. All right, so turn your Bible to Luke chapter 4. All right, turn your Bible to Luke chapter 4. We started this a couple weeks ago and we did not finish it. Jesus is up north. He's in Galilee. He's preaching in Galilee. Let me put these first couple. We covered the first, I think we covered two out of these 10. We made great progress. I think we covered these first two that we're looking at. So in Luke chapter 4, Jesus comes to Nazareth in verse 16. We're going to read about his mission here in Galilee. He's teaching and he's preaching. That's what was important. What did we talk about this morning in the sermon this morning? Was he doing miracles up there? Yeah, he did miracles up there. Did lots of miracles up there. But was that his purpose? Was his purpose to just come and do miracles? That's not his purpose. His purpose is to come and do teaching and preaching. And so he goes to the synagogue in verse 16. And verse 16 says that was his custom to go to the synagogue. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, about that needing to be our custom. Now, I know we covered a little bit of this morning in some of our comments during the sermon, but I want to kind of rehearse some of these again as well. After Jesus read from the Scripture, which we'll come back and look at, after Jesus read from the Scripture, what did he do in verse 20? What did he do in verse 20 after reading from the Scripture? He sat down. What does that indicate he was doing while he was reading the Scripture? It means that he stood up. He was standing while he was reading the Scripture. Is that just kind of a detail that's no big deal? Why would he be standing while he's reading the Scripture, but he sits down to teach? That was the custom. Custom of the rabbis was to sit down to teach. Why stand up to read? What does that indicate? He's got respect. Even Jesus is standing up to read from God's Word because he respects it to be God's Word. Now, what did he read from? What book? Verse 17. What book did he read from? Isaiah. In your Bible, how many chapters does Isaiah have? 66. How many books are in the Bible? 66. How many chapters are in Isaiah? 66. Good. Okay. It's not trick questions around here, all right? 66 books in the Bible, 66 chapters in Isaiah. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. How many books are in the New Testament? 27. You take the book of Isaiah, you slice it down just the same. First 39 chapters, last 27 chapters. You talk about judgment against the nations. You talk about Babylonian captivity coming. And then the last 27 chapters, you talk about promise of Jesus and the hope that Israel has. It's a pretty cool division. So anyway, he reads from Isaiah. And as he's reading from Isaiah, Isaiah talks about Jesus coming and that Jesus was going to take care of some people that are often overlooked. Like who? Look in verse 18. What kind of people are often overlooked that are mentioned in verse 18? The poor. The poor often overlooked. Who else? The brokenhearted. Who else? Captives. Are they overlooked? The blind. Anybody else? The oppressed. You got five different categories of people mentioned in verse 18. And Isaiah said Jesus is going to come and Jesus is going to be concerned about these people. Are we like Jesus? Are we concerned about people that are often overlooked, often marginalized? You know, sometimes we would do well to look at the life of Jesus and see who Jesus associated with. When they brought that woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery, did Jesus say, "Ooh, get away from me, I don't want anything to do with you"? Is that what he did? Did he talk to her like a real person? Yeah. Did he converse with her and then end up forgiving her of her sins? When that woman in Luke 7, she's just called a sinful woman, comes and washes Jesus' feet, wipes with her hair. This is not Mary who does it later. This is a different woman. But she's called a sinful woman. And the owner of the house says, "What is this woman doing in my house?" If Jesus was really a prophet, he'd know what was wrong with her. What did Jesus do with her? "Ooh, get away from my feet. I don't want you around me." What did he do? Treated her like a real person. Talked to her like a real person. Forgave her of her sins. Would we do well to look at Jesus? They say, you know what? There's some people that are often overlooked today. There's some people that maybe a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with them. What do I need to do? Look at them like a real person? Talk to them like a real person? Care about them? So after Jesus reads from this section in Luke chapter 4, we come down and we see that this is one of the passages. It's from Isaiah 61, most of it. And he comes down to the end of it and he says in verse 21, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Let's go back and look at this scripture. Look at verse 18. I want you to look at this close in verse 18. He's reading from Isaiah and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon who?" Who's talking? Jesus. "Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me." Three times. So in Isaiah 61, who's this talking about? Me. And Jesus gets done reading this and he says, "This is talking about me." Look down at verse 19. This whole passage about me is to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's interesting terminology. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Did God have a plan for Jesus' coming? Did God know exactly when Jesus was going to come? He had it all laid out. He knew exactly when he was going to come. When Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "When the fullness of the time had come," God sends Jesus. At the right time, he's going to send Jesus into this world. And so Jesus comes at the acceptable year, but there's more to it than that. Leviticus 25 talks about the year of Jubilee. You know what the year of Jubilee was? Sounds fun, right? Year of Jubilee. You know what that year was? It was every 50th year. That ought to be a year of Jubilee if you only have it every 50 years, right? I mean, you have a day of Jubilee every year. It's called your birthday, all right? Except after a while, you're not so filled with Jubilee on your birthday, apparently. But they had it. What happened on the year of Jubilee? If you had become indebted to a fellow Jew, you know what that fellow Jew was to do? Wipe the debt clean. Could that be a year of Jubilee? Would you go and get a loan in year 49? Be like, it's year 49. I think I'll go get a loan. Because year 50 comes around and what happens? What if you had sold yourself into slavery to a fellow Jew because you had no other options and you needed to provide for your family? What would happen in year 50? You still a slave? Wiped clean. You're set free. What were they supposed to do to the land in year 50? Were they supposed to plant the crops? You let the land rest. How often did they let the, don't say every 50 years, because that would be true, but how often did they let the land rest? Every 7 years. On the seventh year, it was a Sabbath year. Just like they were to rest every seventh day, the land was to rest every seventh year. Do the math. What happened on year 49 to the land? It was to rest. What happened on year 50 to the land? It was to rest. What would you be doing on year 48? You'd be growing stuff like crazy, wouldn't you? You'd be storing it up. It's not just 1 year. You've got to have 2 years. You think God took care of them in year 49 and in year 50? Have enough food? So the year of Jubilee was a year of what? Freedom. I'm not enslaved anymore. Was a year of a removal of debt. I'm not indebted anymore. Jesus comes in the favorable year of the Lord. Not indebted anymore. Not enslaved anymore. I'm free. Jesus sits down and says, that's right now. That's going on right now. He's the promised Messiah. Were they excited to hear this?
Not really. Sort of. I don't think so.
Did they process this? It's that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of this. He's brought blessings upon all of these people, but they rejected him. The very people in his hometown who should have known him and expected him the most, they rejected him. Look over in verse 22. They all bore witness to him. They marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Jesus told them basically, you're going to reject me. Verse 24, surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. So we mentioned this morning. Look at verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with what? Wrath. They rose up, thrust Jesus out of the city, led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him over the cliff. Did they know who Jesus was? Yeah. What did they say about him in verse 22? Is this not Joseph's son? They knew exactly who Jesus was, but they didn't want anything to do with him. They rejected him. Is that still happening today? People learning about Jesus and either outright rejecting him or learning about Jesus and following him and then turning away from him? Who did Jesus come to save? Real quick, let me finish this real quick and then we're going to get into our worship. Who did he come save? Look up in verse 25. I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel. What does that mean? There were many widows who were Jews in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. What does that mean? There were a whole bunch of Jewish widows. But who did Elijah take care of? A Gentile widow. Verse 27. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. But none of them was cleansed except who? Naaman the Syrian. Whole bunch of lepers. But did he heal the Jewish lepers? He healed a Gentile leper. That is why the Jews rose up and wanted to throw him out of their city and throw him off the cliff. Because Jesus comes along and says, guess who it was that even in the Old Testament, God's people were looking to take care of? Not just the Jews. They were taking care of even the Gentiles and sometimes only the Gentiles. Jesus could not be stopped from fulfilling the mission that God came to give him to do. Even when they tried to throw him off the cliff, what does verse 30 say? He passed through the midst of them. You know what that means? Good, I don't. I mean, what does it mean? I know what it means. He passed through the midst of them. Was it a miracle? He passed through the midst of them. All right? You in your mind, you figure out what that means. But what we know is he passed through the midst of them. He got away from them. And aren't you glad that he did? What if they had succeeded? Think about it, and then we're going to start our worship. What if they had succeeded in throwing him off the cliff? Same answer as, what if he told his mom a lie? What if he had cursed at his mom? Could we be saved? Nope, because he had committed one little sin. What if they had thrown him off the cliff and he died? He's not your Savior. Why not? Because what was prophesied about your Savior? Not being thrown off a cliff. Being crucified on a cross. That was prophesied. All those other prophecies wouldn't have been fulfilled. All sorts of things happen in the life of Jesus. How many prophecies were there about Jesus in the Old Testament? 332. How many of them did he have to fulfill in order to be the Messiah? All of them.